Haines residents and representatives raise concerns about local government drone use, and the challenges of recycling glass in Southeast Alaska. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The use of unmanned aircraft systems, or drones, by the Haines Borough has raised concerns about privacy and local government overreach. At an assembly meeting Tuesday, residents and representatives pushed back on the use of the technology as a routine tool for government.
Some of us moved up here to get away from government encroachment in our lives.
That's Haines resident Judy Rogers.
We just want to live our lives in peace and be left alone. We don't want to have to worry about a government that's with a drone looking over our shoulders and listening to what we have to say.
Rogers wasn't alone in her opposition to the local government's use of drones. Ryan Cook also spoke out at the meeting.
I think we're going to be treading on really thin water here if we start messing with this stuff. It's a real huge invasion of privacy.
Here's why the issue came up now. Recently, Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel used a drone to help enforce a land use issue. A lot of people weren't happy about that. Schnabel said she wanted to address the issue with an administrative policy.
As a manager, I felt it was a responsibility to address that by getting in front of the issue and just saying, oh, we should have a policy for how we would pursue or how we would guide, you know, to guide the administration if we ever had a need or a desire to employ drones in the future.
Schnabel wanted to be clear. She doesn't want to change borough code or establish a drone use program at the borough. The policy wouldn't dictate how Haines residents can use the crafts. It would only guide the borough administration's use of the technology. Schnabel says she sees drones as a tool that could be used for a variety of reasons. The policy includes search and rescue and gathering evidence and documentation after crimes and accidents. Schnabel's draft policy also points to possible drone use for helping people like engineers, land surveyors, and land use planners gain aerial perspective. It also names assisting incident command staff and first responders as a potential use. Resident Mike Dinker is a commercial pilot who owns and has operated drones. He said he thinks the policy could get the borough into legal trouble.
I believe the potential legal exposure for a misadventure into this frontier would far exceed any public benefit the policy offers at this time. So I would urge you to slow down, put this policy to the committee, and let it be fully vetted.
The assembly didn't have a whole lot of love for it either, questioning whether a policy is necessary, called for, and whether the borough should be using drones as a tool at all. Assemblyman Tom Morfitt suggested sending the document to committee. But Brenda Josephson said it should just be taken off the table.
I think it would be better to just shelve the drone policy. The policy is we don't use drones.
Sean Mady said they shouldn't discount the use of the technology, but he said it should only be used with the permission of landowners.
I would move that we pass ordinance to only use drones with the express written permission and presence of the landowner, who also gets copies of any pictures taken.
Morfitt said he could see drones being useful for search and rescue and public safety emergencies, but he questioned whether a borough administrative policy is necessary for these uses.
I think in extreme situations, we might want to use a drone when other remedies have failed. I'm not convinced that there's never a situation where a drone would be advisable. I think it obviously should be a very last resort remedy.
The assembly did not move the policy forward. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. Southeast Alaska's largest city will open a warming center for the homeless later this month. The Juneau Assembly approved an ordinance appropriating $75,000 to the project at its Monday meeting. The center will be open when the temperature drops below freezing. Some homeless Juneau residents come from other cities in Southeast Alaska. The warming center will operate through April in an old Department of Public Safety building near Juneau's Centennial Hall Convention Center. It's expected to hold about 25 people. Funding will come from municipal tobacco tax revenues. Juneau's assembly considered and supported the proposal at an October work session, but it needed a full vote in a regular meeting to become official. Ketchikan City Council also voted this fall to fund a seasonal warming center for homeless residents. The amount appropriated was $80,000. Many communities in Southeast Alaska recycle, but none of them recycle glass in the traditional sense. As part of the Coast Alaska series Talking Trash, KFSK's Angela Denning looks at some of the challenges of recycling glass and what communities in the region do with it instead.
Most recyclables in Petersburg go into a single bin at people's homes. Plastics, aluminum, paper, it's all picked up by the borough once a week. But glass is different. If residents want to recycle glass, they must bring it to a dumpster like this one, labeled glass only, and drop bottles through a hole in the lid. There's three drop-off spots around town. In the first half of the year, the borough collected 50,000 pounds of glass.
It does save money. Any weight that we can take out of the solid waste stream, we're saving that money.
Carl Hagerman is the public works director in Petersburg.
It removes it from the waste stream. It's not in a recycling stream. So it's the best solution that we have right now.
For years, the town has shipped its trash to Washington because it's cheaper than maintaining it in the local landfill. The borough pays about $113 a ton to ship solid waste and about $20 a ton for recyclables because there are rebates for reusable products. But that wasn't always the case. When glass was included in recycling, the borough could sometimes pay more to ship it than the trash.
It was a huge problem. The amount of glass that was included in our recycling stream became a burden to the recycling facility in Seattle.
They can only receive as much as they can use, so it's not an unlimited market.
Matt Stern is the director of recycling operations for Waste Management Pacific Northwest. He says fewer facilities are processing mixed glass now. In the area that Stern covers, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, there's only one remanufacturer of glass located in Seattle. He says mixed glass takes extra sorting.
It tends to have a certain portion, 10%+ of non-glass material with it, whether it's plastic caps or chicken bones or whatever might make it in with the glass.
The colors have to be separated too. Another reason there's not much interest in glass is because of the material. Glass is mostly silica or sand, and it's just not valuable.
You know, there's no shortage of sand, and so it's not replacing, you know, sort of a critically limited resource. So I think that's part of the problem as well.
The flip side of that is that glass is arguably better for the landfill than toxic products such as plastics. It doesn't leach chemicals into the soil. Which brings us to Petersburg's landfill. We're driving to the back where the sanitation department is building an access road. It's made from layers of rock and broken glass. This dump truck crushes the glass into small chunks in the back of the bed. Then the back door lifts high off the ground, and a rainbow of glass comes raining down onto the road. What's left is a heap of shining pieces in greens, blues, browns, and clear. Petersburg is not alone. Nearly all of the communities in Southeast do something similar. Ketchikan, Sitka, Skagway, and Juneau also collect glass, crush it, and use it at the local landfill. Wrangell doesn't have a landfill anymore, so it ships its glass south with the trash. Haines's private landfill wouldn't talk about what they do with their glass. In Juneau, Jim Ponor is the solid waste coordinator for the city and borough. He's been in the business for nearly 45 years. He says the challenge with recycling glass is it's heavy and it's not worth much.
The last I checked in glass of about 3 years ago, it was 2 cents a pound recycling. At market, 2 cents a pound. Well, it costs us upwards of, you know, 10, 13 cents a pound just to ship it out of here.
Some Southeast towns are looking at using glass for roadbeds, sanding icy surfaces, and other uses. Ponor says that would be great, but it's an expensive process.
You got to crush it. You got to remove any labels or any paper that possibly is on the glass has to come off. Then it has to go through another crushing machine, and then it goes to the fine, making the mesh glass. And now that's usable.
He says the necessary equipment is just over $3.5 million. Petersburg's Carl Hagerman would like to pursue that possibility in the future, but for now, Petersburg, Juneau, and many other towns in Southeast will continue to encourage residents to separate out their glass and save their communities some money. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.